The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com.
Continue a series, a short series I started last Sunday morning, entitled The Solid Rock. The Bible says in verse 46 of Luke chapter 6, Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it. For it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless the preaching of the word this morning. Help us for these next several minutes to block out the cares of this day or the cares of the week ahead or the week behind and just allow you, Holy Spirit, to speak to our hearts, to challenge us and to bring conviction and to draw each of us closer to you. And Lord, if there's one here today that's never received Christ as their Savior, that this would be the day that they'd understand that they're lost and on their way to a Christless eternity in a place called hell. But that you love them, that, Father, you care for them, and you displayed that love when you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on an old rugged cross to pay for their sin. He rose again victorious over death and over sin. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would bring that conviction to their heart and clarity and an understanding. And so use me this morning, Lord, as your vessel, as your instrument, despite my own faults and failures, my own weaknesses, let this message bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week I preached out of the Gospel of Matthew, a parallel scripture in many senses and with regards to the Sermon on the Mount. And we came to understand in our adult Sunday school class today, if we were to back up here in the Gospel of Luke, much of the same material Jesus covers in the preceding verses, which we entitled the Sermon on the Mount, but I guess we would have to call it the Sermon on the Plain. Because in Matthew's Gospel, the Sermon on the Mount is preached on a mount. In Luke's Gospel, the Sermon on the Mount is preached out in the plains. And so as we talked about this morning in the adult Sunday school class, I'm sure Jesus often repeated, just like preachers today, will preach messages not just once, but again and again and again. And if you read through that, what seems to have happened was Jesus preached the message to the disciples, and then he gathered them up, and he brought all of the disciples down to the plain where he preached it to the people. It's kind of interesting because don't forget this, that the disciples were experiencing 3.5 years of walking with Jesus. That was their Bible college. And so the master teacher was teaching them as a small group of disciples. And then after he taught them, he brought them down to the multitudes and he showed them how to do it in front of the multitudes as well. And so much of the same materials, much of the same topic is covered here in the Gospel of Luke. Maybe not quite as much as we see in Matthew's Gospel, but you get the same idea here. And so he finishes here with the same finish that he finished with there in the Gospel of Matthew, where he again says, verse 47, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built his house upon the earth, against which the streams did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So you have the wise man, and you have the foolish man. Now, if you weren't here last week, I preached out of the Gospel of Matthew, and we talked about the house that was built upon the sand. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but just to refresh your memory, or for you, again, if you weren't here, we talked about being careful of the sinking sand of experience. You're not to build your Christianity on experiences that you have unless those experiences harmonize with the Word of God. Just because you experience something doesn't necessarily mean that experience is from God. And then we talked about being careful of the sinking sand of expectations. Sometimes we enter into our Christianity and we have things that we expect God is going to do or God is not going to do, and then we're kind of surprised by what God allows in our lives. Well, we're reminded that we're here for His glory and for His honor. We're here to serve Him, and whatever comes our way, we understand that there is a sovereign God that allows these things in our lives. Like, for instance, we prayed for our brother, Chris Headley. I'm sure that the last thing that he expected in his life, if you went back close to 20 years ago when he received Christ as his Savior, that the last thing he would be expecting this morning was that he would have to be battling Parkinson's disease at a fairly young age. But God's allowed this into his life for a reason. And then thirdly, I said last week, be careful of the sinking sand of expediency. Sometimes we reject God's word because it's just easier to do it this way. Well, God never said that it was going to be easy. And we should be careful that we just don't say, well, I know what God says, but I'm just going to do it this way anyhow. Well, this morning I want to kind of turn the whole thing around. I want to talk not about the sinking sand. I want to talk about the foundation. And I noticed as I read through Luke's gospel here, he uses the word foundation. He didn't use the word foundation in Matthew's gospel. But it's a foundation built upon a rock. And that's really the whole point of the message this morning. The importance of the foundation. The wise builder, it says here in the example that Jesus gave, he said he dig deep and he laid the foundation on the rock. He didn't lay the foundation until he hit the rock. And then he built upon it. It reminds me of, I've lost track of time, but I think it's over 10 years ago now, when I put the addition on the back of my house. And so many of you men in this church came and helped me build that addition. Actually, I helped them. They didn't help me. And I don't know how many of you guys remember. Ernie probably remembers because I think he was here the day, or he was there the day the excavator was there. And he was digging around the back of my house. And they came around the back. And on this side, they dug okay. On this side, they dug okay. But when they got to the one side, right next to the old foundation was a huge boulder, a giant rock. And I don't know if you remember that or not, Ernie, but it was just... And so my house is an old house. It's built in the 1880s. That's as far back as we have traced it. And so with the exception of one wall, my entire house is built upon fieldstone. And so they're digging around this massive rock. And they got, you know, when you live up where I live, you want to make sure you get down below the frost line. So they were able to get below the frost line here, able to get below the frost line here, and about halfway, and they hit this rock. And the excavator, he picked around it and pushed on it and moved it, and then he was worried, you know, a rock that size, if you were to move it, you could unsettle the foundation that was already there. So we left it. And when the people came to pour the foundation, they put the forms here, they put the forms here, they put the forms here, and he said, well, we'll just pour the form right on top of the rock. It's not moving. It's there. And so that part of my foundation is probably, if I remember correctly, maybe only 2.5 feet, but that rests upon this gigantic boulder, and we have no idea how big that rock is. And so that's the illustration that Jesus is giving here. And then you think of this too, when you think of this before you get into the message, you know, you can have two houses that look identical. And the foundation you don't see. You don't see the foundation because it's underground. So you can literally have two houses that from the ground up look exactly the same, but one can be built upon rock and the other can be built upon sand. And I want you to think about that as I preach you this message this morning, because that really, in many ways, is if I can use the term, foundational to the message. So, notice this in verse 46. Jesus asked this question. He said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" And now, we're going to come back here in a minute. Just keep your finger. Go to the Gospel of Matthew, where we were last week. Because he phrases it a little different here in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And notice what he says beginning in verse 21, prior to giving this example. He says this, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he which doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And really the key is, I think, at the end of verse 21 where he says, "But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." As I read that, I thought, and then he goes on with this, the two houses, one built on sand, one built upon the rock. Well, why does he say this in verse 21 through 22? As I thought about this and prayed about this, because he is really challenging you and I and all that have read this down through the centuries to be sure that we're building on the right foundation and not on the wrong foundation. You see, religious expression built upon the wrong, or built upon sand, is just that. It's just religious expression or a religious exercise. There can be an outward profession of religion, but it's built upon works, not upon faith. For instance, way back in Genesis chapter number 4, you have two brothers. You know their names. What are their names? They're the offspring of Cain. I just gave you one. They are who? They are Cain and Abel. They both recognize the one true living God. They both understand that. They believe there is one true living God. And they bring a sacrifice. So you could almost say, well, they looked to the same God. But one brings a sacrifice, the firstlings of his flock. That is Abel. He brings the sacrificial lamb. That's his religious expression. That expression is built upon faith. It's, if you will, built upon the rock. Well, what does Cain bring? He brings the fruits of that which he tilled from the ground. It is another act of religious expression, both focused at the one true living God. But Cain's act of expression is representative not of faith, but of works. It is the sinking sand of works. You follow what I'm saying? And so, we think about that. Sure, you can have an outward expression. Listen, the Pharisees were excessively devoted to prayer. And they led the people to believe if they were excessively devoted to prayer, they could be saved from their sin. But they were building religious expression upon sand, not upon faith. In fact, we're still in the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to go back to Luke in a minute. But look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. So what is Jesus teaching here? He's saying, listen, that kind of religious expression is not built upon faith. That kind of religious expression is built upon works. It's the wrong foundation. It's meaningless. And the Pharisees taught that. Islam teaches that. That's why people who believe in Islam, they get on their hands and knees 5 times a day, they face towards Mecca and they pray, hoping that their religious expression is going to gain them merit with God. There are those who profess to be Christians who do that. Some of you were engaged in that at some point in your life, where you hope that your religious expression, your repetitive prayer over and over and over again, would gain you merit with God. The problem is, that's sinking sand. That's works, and it's not based upon faith. And when Jesus said, there'll be some that say, Lord, Lord, have we not done this, and we've not done this, and we've not, or haven't we done this in your name, and haven't we done this in your name, and haven't we done this in your name? And he says, depart from me, I never knew you. Because they did all of those things based on the wrong foundation. They did all those things based upon sinking sand. Now go back to the Gospel of Luke. So we want to focus upon the right foundation. Because if you're not built upon the right foundation, you can build two buildings that are identical. This building that we're in now was built in 1892. And if you've ever taken a look at the foundation, it's made out of granite, I guess that is, right? Those big granite blocks. And but I want to tell you, if a building, this exact same building, was built right next door and not put on a granite foundation, 100 or so years later, it would be very doubtful that that building would still be standing today. The ground would shift, the ground would move, everything would twist and turn, and it would be gone. Or it would be dilapidated. This building's lasted all of these years because of the foundation that the original builders built it on. And so you and I, it's important in our lives that everything is built upon the right foundation. And so I want to give you these 3 points that are on the back of your handout. The solid rock, because that's what the illustration Jesus said. He digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. Well, number one, it's the solid rock of Christ. You notice in the text what Jesus said, verse 47, whosoever, and then these next 3 words, read those next 3 words out loud for me. I'm going to read whosoever, and then you read the next 3 words. Whosoever, okay, that was pretty weak, all right? Whosoever, that was just a little bit better, but let me try one more time, okay? Whosoever, there he cometh to me. To whom? To Jesus. He's the solid rock. Amen? He's the solid rock. Come unto me, Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 11, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me. Everything in our Christianity is to be built upon Christ. Everything in our Christianity is to be built upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus is teaching here this to the multitudes, he says to them there, listen, come, he is like the man, or he says in verse 47, whosoever cometh to me, he's drawing attention to himself. Everything that you and I do, everything that this church does, it ought to be drawing attention to Jesus Christ. For he is the solid rock. He is the rock of our salvation. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, Paul is teaching there, what's happening there, you don't need to turn there, but I put this verse on your handout for you that says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now Paul speaks that and then writes that to the church in Corinth, because you know what was going on in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians? There was division in the church. You read through that context of that, Paul was dealing with the fact that some said that they were of Apollos, and some said they were of Paul, and they could have went on and he could have said some say they're of Peter. He was trying to get them to understand this, that it's not of being of Paul or Apollos or of Peter or of any of the other apostles, that it's all about Christ. He is the only true foundation. He is the only hope. He is the rock of ages. And so that's the foundation. And so we have people today whose foundation is built upon religious leaders. We have people today whose foundation is not built upon Christ, it's built upon an institution. But it must be built upon Christ. Or else, it's the wrong foundation. All the religious exercise, even done so in the name of Christianity, is sinking sand unless it's built upon faith. And then that solid rock of Christ, the power. Look what he says again in verse 47. Whosoever cometh to me, the solid rock, and heareth my sayings and doeth them. His power. He heareth them. He doeth them. So you've come to Christ. You've understood that my life, your life, our salvation must be built upon the solid rock. And then our Christian experience must be built upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ. And then the power of Christ through His Word rests upon us. The power of Christ. He heareth these things and He doeth them. We're reminded of James chapter number 1, verse number 22, that says that it's important not only to be a hearer of the word, but what? A doer. Because there's power in that. When you and I exercise our faith by being obedient to the word of God and building our lives upon the foundation of Christ. In Luke chapter 4, in verse 32, I have it written here for you. We could have turned back to it. But in the context of the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, Jesus is visiting synagogue after synagogue after synagogue, and He's preaching in those synagogues. And when He gets done, if you were to read through that, you would find that this is how He was characterized by the listeners in verse chapter 22 or 32, when they said, "And they were astonished at His doctrine, for His word was with power." Never underestimate or never take for granted the reading of God's Word, the teaching of God's Word, sitting under the preaching of God's Word. I was asked not too long ago by someone how it was that many, many years ago in my life, when I was just a brand new Christian and I had different things in my life that I struggled with, that I really had been controlled by, my flesh had been controlled by these things. And this person was experiencing maybe not the exact same thing, but they were dealing with some issues. And they asked me some advice about how, back then, long before I was ever in the ministry, what were some of the things that I implemented in my life in order to allow the Lord to be victorious in my life over those things. I spoke with them, and then I had forgotten something. And I got a chance a few days later to then share something else with them. And I said this to them. I said, I just kind of went back over what I just said to you. And I said, but there's something very important. I was sorry I didn't tell you. And he said, well, what's that? I said, at that point in my life, I absolutely never, ever missed a church service. Because I understood how important the preaching of God's Word was in my life. To sit under the preaching and to be fed God's Word. He said, I absolutely never missed a church service. In fact, my preacher gave me cassette tapes. I listened to preaching when I was driving in the car. I had a job that the person who was my employer let me listen to preaching in the car or at work. I just saturated myself with the preaching of God's Word. Because you see, there's power in God's Word. See, the Holy Spirit of God takes the Word of God and brings that conviction and change and draws us and teaches us. You see, you have to have a life that's built upon the solid rock. And with the exception of the time I had pancreatitis, I had to stay in the hospital, so I couldn't go to preaching. But I remember last year, and I've always loved to sit under the preaching. Just love it. But I remember last year when I flew down to see my mom for Mother's Day when she had her accident. She had surgery. And I missed the Sunday morning service for the first time. I felt like... I was glad that I got to go to church that night. I just wouldn't miss. Because there's power in God's Word. It's the solid rock of Christ. And so Jesus teaches this, and I know that's my experience. And every person has to have their own experience, and they have to have their own standards, but they have to be built upon the solid rock. And so I stand here, and I don't want you to think, well, all right, well, I don't go to all the services. I'm not condemning you. I'm just telling you how God worked in my life. I'm just telling you how, you know, people, so they look at people's lives and they see this. And I'm certainly a long ways from being perfect, but the foundation must be built upon the solid rock of faith in Christ. And then, the solid rock of Christianity, because true Christianity, Bible-believing Christianity, has to be built upon the right foundation. So we live in a world today, there are many people who call themselves Christians. But it must be built upon the right foundation. It can't be built upon the foundation of sand. It must be built upon the solid rock of faith in Christ. We walk by faith and not by sight. Since the time of Cain and Abel, people have been trying to please God by their works and not by faith. So he goes on and he says this. So in verse 47, "Whoso cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house." So there's a pattern. When a man builds a house, there's a pattern. There's blueprints that are drawn up in order to build the house. And you follow that pattern, those blueprints. Now we know from Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 20 that the Bible says, "And we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." Now, I don't know where the cornerstone of this building is. I mean, the official cornerstone. I'm assuming it's either over here or it's over here. I don't know if we've ever determined that. But I do know this, that in 1892, when they built this building, they took one piece of granite and they put that piece of granite in the ground, and then they drew a line off of that granite in order to build the wall this way and then build the wall this way and in the back and then down the side. But the pattern started with the cornerstone. And then on top of that was laid each piece of cornerstone, either on top of it or next to it. Well, Christ is the cornerstone. And you and I, the Bible says, we're to be conformed into the image of Christ. So it is very possible. Remember I said you could have two houses right next to one another. You know, rarely do you see the foundation because it's underground. They could look the same, talk the same, act the same, even have their attention directed towards the same God. But if one is built upon the wrong foundation, then it's built upon sinking sand. It's not built upon faith, it's built upon works. The pattern built upon Christ. He built a house. He built a house. The scriptures say, except the Lord build a house, they that labor, labor in vain. And so, again, we go back to His Word, His precepts. We saw under the first point, the solid rock of Christ, the power of His Word. And so we look to His precepts. He goes on and he reminds us that in verse 48, so the pattern was you digged deep. The pattern was you laid the foundation on a rock. And then when the floods arose, the streams beat upon the house. It couldn't be shaken. Why? It was founded on the right foundation. But he that heareth and doeth not is like the man without a foundation. He built the house upon the earth. He did it not. He didn't follow the plan. Two examples I'll give you. I was mentioning this morning. When my garage burned 6 years ago, it was a winter just like this. In fact, on a Sunday night in December, we arrived home, and I remember I was sitting, and I went downstairs to load our wood furnace, and I believe it was, Lydia that said that the garage was on fire. And I said, no way. It's pouring rain outside. It's a day just like today. And so I come upstairs, and I think she's probably seeing a reflection off of a window or something. And I look out, and the garage was on fire. I couldn't believe it. So I go out, and by now the whole far side is consumed with flames, and I'm trying to move the cars away from the garage, and we've called the fire department, and the garage burned, and that was the end of the garage. So I had to go through the guys. So about a week later, they came. They demolished the garage. They carried it away. And so I had to have something to put the trash in for the winter and the snow blower. And so I bought one of these 10 by 12 foot metal sheds from Sears. Well, some of you have these in your yard. And so some of the guys, I said to them, listen, I got to build this 10 by 12 foot metal shed from Sears. And I thought to myself, how difficult could it be? Will you guys come up and help? And so, 2.5 days later, about a day and a half later, Russ Cody said, I'm never buying one of these. I'm going to build one out of wood, he said. Because there's about a billion screws and nuts and washers and this piece and that piece. The only good thing was, just like this year, it was very warm. You guys remember, it wasn't bad to do it. And so, Frank, I think, did you help? You were there. Russ was there. I know Ethan came. His brother-in-law came. For a little bit, and I'm not sure else who else helped, but we did follow the plans, and we did get it built after 2.5 days. Amen. A lot of screws everywhere. We followed the plans. Another example: Debbie Bailey's here. When my kids were young. My in-laws gave us one of those metal swing sets. Just a typical, I think it either had two, maybe it had three swings, and it had a slide. And it comes in a box from Sears. It's about this thick. It's about this wide. And maybe the half, not quite, maybe three-quarters of the length of a pew. I opened it up, thinking I was going to put this together. I took the directions out, and the first words of the directions were, do not get discouraged. So, Debbie's son, Seth, he's got a good knack for this. So I called over to the Baileys and I said, Seth, would you like to put this together for me? No problem, he said. He came over one day and I think in an afternoon he had the whole thing together. I was not going to follow those directions. I was after I read, do not get discouraged, I was even more discouraged. You have to follow the directions. And so the solid rock of Christianity, Bible-believing Christianity, is called Bible-believing Christianity because it's based upon the Bible. It's not based upon the ideas of this man or this institution or this person over here. It's based upon the solid rock of Christ, or else it's built on sand, and it's good for nothing. His precepts. In fact, look at Luke chapter 14. Take your Bibles and turn there real quick. Luke chapter 14 and verse number 28. Luke 14:28 says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it might begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish." So sometimes, if we're not careful, remember that point I made last week about expediency and experience and our false expectations? Sometimes we accept Christ as our Savior, so our salvation, it's built upon the solid rock. But then, for some reason, we kind of get away from that. And we say, well, by expediency, I don't really care. I'm just going to do my own thing. Or, I've experienced this. I don't care what God's Word says. But, and you know what happens? So the foundation is the right foundation, but we're not using the right materials. And then we get to the point where we kind of get frustrated. Or we're like, you know, trying to build something that has all these parts, and you don't follow the directions. In fact, I'm remembering when we built this. It's something I've been trying to forget since for 6 years. But now I'm thinking. I remember there was something that we did with this shed. I forget exactly what it was, and I think it was Frank took the directions and he started to read it, and we realized we were one step ahead of things. So we actually had to take part of the shed apart, do that part, and then put that part of the shed back. Well, you know what? Sometimes that's like our Christianity. We get ahead of the Lord. We're not following directions. And there are things in our lives that we allow in our life. We need to take them apart and get back to where we were supposed to be. Built upon His precepts. The solid rock of our Christianity. When I was in Belarus, you can turn back to chapter 6 as we get to the last one. When we were in Belarus, all over Belarus are foundations and half-built homes. They're just all over the place. They never finished. And then lastly, the solid rock of the church. You and I. This institution that we call the church. It's His plan. So notice what He says again in the text. He is like a man which built an house. Well, that's what this is. This is the household of faith. This is His house, you and I. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we are the church. And it must be built upon the solid rock, or it is not a church. I don't care how religious it is, how many bells and whistles they have, how many religious actions and activities they have. If it's built on the wrong foundation, it's not a church. It's an institution, but it must be built upon the right foundation. It must be. It's His plan. I already quoted for you out of Psalm 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain. Matthew 16:18. And I also say unto thee, thou art Peter. Remember, that was when that quote is when Jesus asked the apostles, He says to them, men, who do other men say that I am? And they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist, raised from the dead. Some say you're Elias, raised from the dead. Or some say, or come back again. Some say you're Jeremiah the prophet. And Jesus looked at them and He said, but who do you say that I am? You know what He said? You know what the apostles said? They said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's when Jesus made this statement, I say unto thee, thou art Peter's small pebble, and upon this rock I will build my church, the stone, the rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's the rock of faith. All other ground is sinking sand. And then lastly, it says in verse 48, once they laid this foundation on the rock, and when those floods arose and the stream beat vehemently, it could not be shaken. It could not be shaken. And you and I, we are lively stones built upon a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You and I, whatever we build in our lives, it must be built and in full harmony with the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. In fact, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2, I was reading this morning when the apostle writes to the church there, he says to them regarding the return of Christ, that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word. So the Lord had no intent for us, whatever comes our way, whatever beats upon our lives, to be troubled and shaken. That wind before the service this morning, it was blowing pretty good. But I'm always amazed by this old building, 1892. It's still here. It's still here through the test of time. Now, it's just a building. We know that. But it's a great illustration. And that even when most of you know, when we have our anniversary banquet, I asked Ethan to get some pictures of what the building looked like when Pastor Ainsworth was given the building. Some of you will be shocked what it looked like. But the foundation was still strong. The structure was still strong. And he could renovate it and bring it back to where it is now, and we've continued to do that. But we could have never done that to this building if the foundation was not strong. It's the same about our Christianity. It must be built upon Christ. Every one of us is building a life. In fact, I wrote in my conclusion, everyone is building a life for ourselves. Well, actually, that's not true. We're building a life for the Lord. That's who we're building a life for, the Lord. It must be built upon the solid rock, not on shifting sand. It must be a life built upon faith. Faith. Or are we soon shaken? Are we ready or headed for ruin, or are we unmovable, steadfast, and always abounding in the work of the Lord? Well, that can only be if we're built on the right foundation. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. So as I look out this morning, I know, because I know most of you, many of you, probably 99%, maybe all of you, I don't know, only the Lord knows, but you've called upon Jesus, the solid rock, for salvation. And my challenge to you is, are we building on that foundation? Are we building on it? You know, the scriptures say that we build upon it gold and silver and precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. Wood, hay, and stubble means we've departed from the plan, the precepts. We're not living by faith. We're serving by faith. And so I just challenge you this morning, in every aspect of your life, what is the foundation of that aspect? What is the foundation of your marriage? Your family, your church experience, your work, your personal walk with the Lord. Shifting sand, sinking sand, or the solid rock? And if God is speaking to your heart about a certain area, then spend some time with Him. Maybe tear down that part of your life that needs to, let Him tear it down, and then just let Him rebuild. He's the master builder. Follow His plan. I've always enjoyed working with the men in this church who know how to build. I've looked to them, and I've learned a lot. There's a lot of things I can do today that I could never do 20 years ago because I learned by watching. And sometimes there's things I can do, and I just kind of invite them over to help me because I just enjoy fellowshipping with them.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com.